are tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's October 15th, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to start today's news with an article Fred wrote about Tesla. In Fred's article, he says Tesla needs to come clean about Hardware 3 before the word fraud starts to come out. Musk said that it wouldn't be economically feasible to retrofit HW3 vehicles with HW4, which not only includes a more powerful computer, but also better cameras. Initially, Musk claimed that FSD improvements would first be optimized for Hardware 3, suggesting that Hardware 4 might lag behind by at least 6 months. However, Tesla reversed this approach with the release of FSD version 12.5, which was first deployed to Hardware 4 vehicles. Musk explained that optimizing the software for the less powerful Hardware 3 would take additional time. This has raised a significant red flag, hinting at the limitations of Hardware 3 in handling the latest software advancements towards unsupervised self-driving, a capability Tesla has promised to Hardware 3 owners since 2016. The concern is especially significant within the context that Tesla still has a lot of work to do to deliver its unsupervised full self-driving capabilities. Tesla has always gone out of its way not to release data regarding its FSD program, however. Therefore, we have to rely on crowdsourced data, which shows Tesla is currently at about 122 miles between critical disengagements. According to most experts, Tesla needs a 1,000 times increase in miles between disengagements to deliver on its unsupervised self-driving promise. And as you can see, this data shows that Tesla achieved a 2x improvement over the last 3 years. On top of this situation, CEO Elon Musk got people even more worried about Hardware 3 during the launch of RoboTaxi next week. Now, Fred goes into a lot of great detail in this article. You really need to go check out the full thing. I'm just taking the snippets and highlights out of it, but I'm going to continue to do that so that you can get the context of what he's trying to say and go back and get the full picture. Fred writes, Tesla has been trying to actively reduce its legal liability regarding Hardware 3 by encouraging people who bought FSD to upgrade to newer vehicles. For years, Tesla owners have been asking Tesla to allow them to freely transfer their full self-driving package to a new vehicle. It makes sense. Tesla hasn't delivered the product that they paid for, and it's the bare minimum to allow the customers to transfer it to a new car. After years of refusing, Musk eventually agreed to full self-driving transfer last year, but he called it a one-time amnesty and said to take advantage of it now because it won't be offered again. That turned out not to be true. Tesla brought back the full self-driving amnesty twice more since then. Last quarter, Musk said it was one more time, and then sure enough, brought it back a fourth time this quarter. And again, I want to highlight that Fred wrote a lot more than this. There's a ton to cover. But I definitely want to capture Fred's take on this as someone who has been covering Elon since the beginning, or at least since the beginning of him becoming popular and rolling out the Model S. So here we go. Let's be honest, Fred writes. Tech is rarely supported with software updates after 5 to 7 years. Very true. Tesla Hardware 3 is entering that zone. It's becoming obsolete, and normally that wouldn't be a problem. But Tesla sold a full self-driving capability for up to $15,000 based on this hardware that it never delivered. At minimum, it might have to reimburse that. But owners can even argue that they bought the car because Elon Musk told them it would become full self-driving over time and become a, quote, appreciating asset. This could quickly become a very large liability for Tesla, and the way it handles this is also important. Musk said that retrofits are not feasible from Hardware 3 to Hardware 4. It's true that it would be expensive and also create an insurmountable amount of work for Tesla's already overworked service team. The Hardware 4 computer doesn't have the same power harness or camera harness as the Hardware 3 and doesn't share a form factor that fits in the same spot. Additionally, the cameras have been upgraded with Hardware 4, which raises the question, is the computing power the only problem, or do the cameras also need to improve? If it's just computing power, Tesla could potentially design a new computer that could be more easily retrofitted in the Hardware 3 cars. But even then, that's something that needs to be disclosed. And as I said, I being Fred, Tesla knows that it can't deliver the unsupervised self-driving on Hardware 3. It needs to let owners know right now and stop selling the package to Hardware 3 drivers without a clear plan to make things right. Otherwise, things quickly become fraudulent. Couldn't agree more with Fred. I think that's a very objective realistic take on this. He's not calling anybody out. He's not accusing anybody of anything. What he's doing is showing a scenario that, given a long enough time frame, a lot of other people may start to point to and call fraud. Go into the comments if you disagree. Now, the biggest news this weekend, however, was not about Tesla. It was about GMC when they quietly rolled out their 2025 Sierra EV Denali with a $10,000 lower price. Now, this was really interesting because I was happened to be on the GMC website looking at the tow ratings on those vehicles, because that GMC Denali Edition 1 technically is a Class 3 vehicle and in some markets can qualify for significantly higher rebates than a Class 2 pickup like a Ford F-150 Lightning or a Tesla Cybertruck. That said, once I got there, there was a tab for 2025, and that showed a similar vehicle with all the same features that the 2024 Denali had, including the crab walk, the multi-pro midgate, the adaptive air ride suspension, the vehicle-to-home, vehicle-to-grid capability that was baked into it at a price that was $10,000 less. And I wrote this comment, which is a little bit sarcastic and snarky. A lot of people didn't like it and commented so, but I want to point it out here anyway, not to make the joke a second time, but to throw it in here as a value proposition. If Elon's pro-Trump antics or the dumpster-inspired styling have turned you off to the Cybertruck, but you're still in the market for an upscale electric pickup that won't make you look like an Andrew Tate fan, the Sierra EV Denali is worth a look. I stand by that simply because you can't just drive one of those things and be like a random person who isn't aware of the connotations surrounding it, in the same way that you can't fly the stars and bars over your house and think that there are not going to be social consequences for doing that. Take all of that aside and just look at the vehicle itself. The 2025 GMC Sierra EV Denali offers similar towing to the Cybertruck, 11,000 versus 10,500, plus 100 miles of additional range without a range extender eating up half the bed. It also has that fold-down midgate, and it does all of that for about $26,800 less than the average transaction price of a new Cybertruck. So you get to be under the radar. You don't have to participate in the ridiculous politics that have begun to surround the Cybertruck. And you can do it for over $26,000 less and get more range, arguably a better truck. GMC reached out to us on Monday with an additional update about this. It looks like their web team got a little bit ahead of their press team. So the official press release said that no, there was actually two new versions of the Denali. An extended range version, that's the lower price version, with 390 miles of range, and a max range version that's 460 miles of range, that's right about the same price. The more exciting news, however, was the announcement of a luxury-oriented Elevation Edition and an off-road-focused AT4, which you can see right there. I've included the entire full press release in that article. You can see that in the show notes as well, so definitely check that out. Moving on from those guys, Nissan Ariyas are getting Tesla Supercharger access in 2024. We recently covered this vehicle at Chicago Drives Electric. I got to take one out for a ride. Really nice vehicle. I had some nitpicky comments about it, but if you can get past those, definitely worth checking out. I'll include that review in the show notes as well. The other big news from Nissan today was the launch of the Nissan Energy Charge Network, which includes access to more than 90,000 DC fast chargers in the U.S. on Electrify America, Shell Recharge, ChargePoint, and EVgo networks. Nissan says it plans to add additional networks in the future. With Nissan Energy Charge Network will allow Nissan Ariya and, quote, future Nissan EV drivers to use the My Nissan app to manage their EV and public charging in one app, which is a great solution. People who have been charging with multiple different apps have gone roaming, can tell you the frustration that they have from downloading multiple apps to manage multiple charging networks. Obviously, that's getting better as we progress, but this is still really good stuff. So we want to celebrate that for Nissan as well. Moving on from Nissan, there's more good news in the world of EV charging. The 2025 ID. Buzz from Volkswagen is going to get 3 years of charging from Electrify America. The 2025 ID. Buzz charging plan includes 3 years of Electrify America's Pass Plus membership, which offers members preferential kilowatt hour rates of about 25% savings compared to standard pay-as-you-go options, plus up to 500 kilowatt hours of free charging. 500 kilowatt hours gives you about 1,250 to 2,000 miles of driving, depending on the EV's efficiency, condition, speed, etc. The ID. Buzz also features plug-in charge functionality, which streamlines the charging process at EA stations by activating plug-in charge in the Electrify mobile app. ID. Buzz drivers can plug in their vehicle and the charging session automatically starts. Now, we like to wrap these things up talking about energy, talking about sustainability, talking about the grid. Today is no different. China has debuted a record-smashing 26-megawatt offshore wind turbine. China's Dongfeng Electric has rolled out a 26-megawatt wind turbine, which is the world's largest in both capacity and size. The offshore wind turbine is designed for areas with wind speeds of 8 meters per second and above, with average winds of 10 meters per second. Just one of these giant turbines can generate 100 gigawatt hours of power annually, which is enough to power 55,000 average homes. That's enough to cut standard coal's consumption by 30,000 tons and reduce CO2 emissions by 80,000 tons. Chinese manufacturers are pushing the boundaries of wind turbine technology. China sees offshore wind power as a crucial component of its strategy to achieve carbon peak by 2030 and carbon neutrality by 2060. We love to see it. We want to encourage more wind projects, not only here, but abroad and all across the world. And that's it. That's all we've got for today, October 15th, 2024. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss tomorrow's.